I want to read to you at a Psalm 142. Psalm 142, we find the title of the psalm is A Maskil of David. Maskil meaning instruction. A prayer when he was in the cave. Let's read this. You follow along silently. I'm going to read the psalm. The Bible says, as David was in the cave, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Then thou knowest my path and the way wherein I walked. Have they privily laid a snare for me? I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto the Lord, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. David is in a cave. As we read the scriptures, we find that David had two cave experiences. One experience, he was in the cave. Saul had been hunting him. David's men, as Saul lay sleeping, urged David to kill him. David went privately to King Saul, and as Saul slept, David took his knife and cut a piece of the skirt of Saul's garment. As I read the story of David and Saul in that cave in En Gedi, I believe with all my heart that we're not dealing with that cave in Psalm 142. There was another cave that David was in. Shortly after David had killed Goliath and David had been praised through the streets, the women saying, Saul has slain his thousands, David is tens of thousands. David is a great hero. He's killed Goliath. Saul eyed him from that day forward. Saul became very jealous and envious. Saul began to conspire to kill David. You remember that David ran to the priest. In those days, he ate of the showbread, and then David fled to the enemy land. He went to Gath, Goliath's hometown. And there he realized he made a big mistake, and David did what a lot of my deacons do in deacons' meetings. He started acting crazy. David feigned that he was crazy, and he escaped Gath. And on his way from Gath, David finds himself in the cave of Adullam. Would you look with me very carefully? As we read the psalm, it seemed as though David was all by himself, but I don't believe he was. Look back with me at 1 Samuel 22. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, we find the Bible says, David therefore departed thence and escaped into the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. As we read Psalm 142, it seems as though David was all by himself in the cave. I believe that David is in the cave of Adullam. There are 400 men with him. Maybe you're sitting here tonight as a missionary, as a pastor's wife, as a servant of the Lord. You're sitting here tonight, and maybe you find yourself in a cave. A cave is a place of darkness. It's a place that lacks vision and light. It's a place of discouragement. It's a place of hardship and discomfort. David found himself in this cave alone from all those that were around him. He said he looked around and no man cared for his soul. Have you ever felt that way? You ever walk through your city and feel like you're the only one? Well, David leaves for us a wonderful thing in Psalm 142. He leaves for us a cure. A cure for the cave. We've all been in our caves. We've all had times of hardship. And as I read Psalm 1 Samuel 22, I couldn't help but think I've never seen a scripture that more described accurately the life of a pastor. David is being hunted by the enemy. And by the way, 1 Peter 5, pastors, 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, don't ever forget, you have an adversary, and he's looking to devour you. He may not get you through lust, and he may not get you through the bottle, and he may not get you through open sin. But I'll tell you something right now, he'll get you through discouragement. And as David is in his cave of discouragement and depression, there comes 400 people to him. Maybe this sounds like your church. Look at him again. Here comes his congregation, those that are in distress, and those that are in debt, and those that are discontent. There was a Baptist church of Adullam. I mean, here's a pastor, you're barely making ends meet. You've got worries on your own. And by the way, his family was there too. David had his family to tend to. He had family affairs and he had relationships to build and there were things going on at home and he had all of those things to deal with. And then there were people who needed money and people who needed counsel and people who needed help and people who were complaining. Hey, why are we in this cave? Why this cave? I don't like this cave. You know, there's a better cave over there. And they're complaining, and they're in distress, and they're in debt. And David is a wonderful Baptist pastor. I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad was starting a church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, in 1976. I was 2 years old. Our family, with five children, we moved to Colorado Springs. Dad had no support. We showed up there, and my mom put me in the stroller, and we went out visiting and knocking on doors every day. In fact, I still wish I could knock doors in the stroller, and somebody just pushed me along. Those were great days of soul winning. We began to knock doors and win souls, and God began to add to his church. We were there for 5 years. The church was growing. It was a wonderful spirit. But there were those in our community that did not honor God. They identified as Satanists. They began to attack our family. On a couple of occasions, our house was set on fire. One morning, my dad got a phone call, and he was asked to rush to the church, and my dad went to the church building, and there he found that some people had come into the church building overnight, a brand new building. We had just built the building. A multimillionaire had given us property, and our church raised the money. We built this building, beautiful place, and some people went in that night, and they absolutely destroyed that building. They vandalized that building in every room. I'll never forget, as a little boy walking around at 8 years old, I walked around that church building and I saw every wall with holes and smashed, every door broken down. They took an axe and chopped our piano in half. They took axes and chopped the pulpit in half, and they destroyed the building. I remember walking around there and looking at all of that, and I couldn't find my dad. I had this fear in my heart as a boy, just this fear in my heart, and I was looking for my dad. And I'll never forget, I went out the back door of the church. There was a little tiny step, and my dad was sitting on that step. My dad was a strong man. Dad was sitting on that step with his head between his knees, and he was weeping. And I heard him tell my mother, I'm done. I'm done. It sent a shock of insecurity in my heart. Our people in the church began to clean and began to work, and Dad went home, and I'll never forget, Dad laid down on the couch. And the people were at the church working and cleaning. We got a phone call to come back to the church, and we drove up to the church late that night. And the people had cleaned that building up as best as possible. They put the pulpit back together. They had cleaned my dad's study and picked up all of his books, and they found a sign in my dad's study over the door that dad always had. It was an old wooden sign, and it said, "Discouragement is of the devil." My dad came in the church building, and they had that little pulpit, and they had that sign there, and his dad came. As we walked in the building, the people began to sing, "Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all I'm safe in his sheltering arms." And the people said, "Preach to us, preacher, preach." I remember my dad holding up that wooden sign, "Discouragement is of the devil," and he preached on the goodness of God. My dad found himself in a cave. You know, I really believe today that we need more missionaries. We need more preachers. And I believe as hard as the devil is working to keep young men from calling, he's working just as hard to keep the men on the field discouraged. He keeps our eyes darkened with the difficulties and the problems. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there is a cure in the cave. Now, I want you to understand that it just seems as though all of God's men have to somewhere go through a cave. I remember Joseph was thrown into a pit. And then Joseph was sold to Potiphar's house. And then Joseph went to prison. He didn't go to prison for doing wrong. He went to prison for doing right. I remember hearing the story of the Apostle Paul as he came to Lystra, and they took him outside and they stoned him. No, he wasn't in a cave, but his little cave was a pile of stones. And as he laid under the rock pile, the disciples gathered around and they just stood there. Almost like David's friends, "No man cared for my soul." It seems as though many of God's men had to go in the cave. But in Psalm 142, David gives us a wonderful cure. I want you to see it, if you will, please. In verse number 1, David said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With the voice of unto the Lord I did make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him my trouble." May I tell you something tonight? The first thing that we find is David's cure. The first pill that David swallowed was this: God hears prayer. We have a prayer answering God tonight. I want you to know that David, he didn't spend time posting his problems. I think many times we mistake prayer for posting. Let me tell you something, friend. David didn't post it to Facebook. He got on his knees and he cried out to God who could answer his problem. Let me remind you tonight that David decided in that battle, in that cave, David decided that there are times when prayer is worship. But brother, there are times that prayer is warfare. And David went to war on his knees. Don't think that we pray so that we can go to battle. Prayer is the battle. Don't think that we pray for the work. Prayer is the work. And David began to pray. I can see Moses up on the mountain as Joshua is fighting Amalek in the valley. And I see Moses on the mountain as he holds his hands up. Israel prevails. As his hands begin to fall, Amalek prevails. And we find that it is prayer that wins the war. I want to tell you, missionary. I want to tell you, pastor. I want to tell you, pastor's wife. Keep praying. God hears prayer. Psalm 65, verse 2. "O thou that hearest prayer." One of the names of God is the God that hears prayer. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Hebrews 4, 6, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Have you been to the throne room lately? The Bible says in 1 John 5:14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if he hear us, we have the petition that we desired of him." our God hears prayer. Maybe in your village, maybe in your town, they go to an idol and they pray to an idol that has eyes but can't see, and he has ears but can't hear, and he has hands but can't help. But we have a God who sees and hears. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Why? The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Thank God that God hears prayer. Thank God that Jesus told us that we can enter into our closet. And when you've shut the door, you can pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, not a God, not an idol, not a statue, but a Father. A father would see if he in secret shall reward thee openly. I'm going to say, second of all, the cure that David leaves for us. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Maybe your spirit's overwhelmed tonight and you don't know what to do. Friend, God knows your path. We have a God that not only hears prayer, but we got a God that knows the path. I want to say tonight that God has a plan for you. Isn't it amazing tonight that with all these people in this room, that we have a God that is a personal God? He has a plan for me and he has a plan for you. The Bible tells us that God brought David into this cave. Can I tell you something? That there was a spirit that was overwhelmed in David, but David didn't need to know what was next. He just needed to trust. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God orders the step by step. Aren't you glad tonight that God didn't tell you the entire plan when he called you? When God met Joseph as a 17-year-old boy, he didn't tell Joseph about the pit. He didn't tell Joseph about Potiphar. He didn't tell Joseph about the prison. He just said, Joseph, I'm going to go with you. We read in Genesis chapter 39 that when Joseph got to Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him. And when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, she said, there's nobody else in the house. And Joseph said, oh yeah, God is here. How shall I do this wicked in the eyes of God? Hey, and then when she threw him into prison, the Bible says that when he got into the jail and the Lord was with him, God knows the path. The Bible says in Proverbs 4 and verse 18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. When you get in the vehicle tonight and you begin to go back to your place where you're staying, when you turn on the headlights, they don't shine all the way home. They just shine just a little ways. And you drive to what you see, and they shine further. And you just drive to what you see, and they shine further. And eventually, those lights light up on the front door of the house. Those lights hit home. Can I tell you something, brother? We're just walking in the light, and we're taking a step at a time, and we're just going as far as we can see, and we're trusting God with the rest. And one of these days, those lights will light up on the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper, and we'll be home step by step. God knows the path. You say, I don't know where God is leading me. We're going to heaven. That's where he's leading us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I want to say the cure for the cave, that God hears prayer and God has a plan. But I want you to see, if you will, please, very quickly in verse number 4, I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. I want you to know tonight that God knows your pain. You may feel forsaken. You may feel rejected. You may feel hated. People all around you may seem to sneer or to mock when you come around. Your village may not love you, and they hate you and reject you and despise you. But I want you to know something. God knows you and he cares. And the Bible says, casting all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. Let me tell you tonight, friend, we need some Christians to get encouraged in the Lord. The devil wants to keep you discouraged. Discouraged people don't share the good news well. It's hard to tell the good news when you've got a saddened heart and a dark heart and no vision for the future. And I want you to know something. God knows your pain. Casting all your care upon Him. The Bible says that we have an high priest. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with our infirmities. Brother, listen to me very carefully. He was tempted at all points as you're tempted, yet without sin. Don't forget, he was despised and rejected. He was forsaken. The Bible said all men forsook him and fled. Jesus hung alone. Corrie ten Boom was helping rescue the Jews from Nazi Germany. When she was arrested, she was taken into a concentration camp. There, that young lady with her little sister, to be humiliated, they were stripped naked by all the Nazis and paraded out in front. And those two girls stood there before all those men. Her little sister began to tremble and cry. Corrie ten Boom looked at her sister and she said, "Sister, remember, Jesus hung naked on the cross too." And her little sister looked up and said, "Oh, sister, that helps." You know, sometimes it just helps to know that Jesus has been there too. He knows your pain. I want to say this very quickly. He knows not only your pain, but listen very carefully to verse 5. "I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." What's the cure for the cave? God hears prayer. What's the cure for the cave? God knows the path. What's the cure for the cave? God knows your pain, but I want you to know He is your portion. He is all you need. David is in the cave with nothing, but he's in the cave with everything because God was in the cave with him. And I want you to know, friend, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Just before I came to the Philippines, I was standing in a youth camp in Seattle, Washington, and we were singing before the service, "Christ is all I need." And I was singing that song, and my heart was being prepared for that service, and I was preparing to come to SLC Asia, and I was asking God to do a work in my heart. And as we were singing that song, I began to rejoice in the fact that Christ is all I need. And the Holy Spirit said so clearly in my heart, "Yes, He's all you need, but is He all you want?" Christ is all I need, but is He all I want? I want you to know, my friend, that our God shall supply your needs. He is our portion. God is your portion. Are you hungry? Well, Jesus is the bread of life. Are you thirsty? He's the living water. Are you weary? He's the rest. Are you lonely? He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Are you afraid tonight? He is the peace that passeth all understanding. I thank God that Jesus is enough, and He's more than enough. I want to say lastly tonight, the cure for the cave. Verse number 6, "Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." I want you to understand something, the cure for the cave. Listen to me very carefully. God will be praised. If God will be praised one day, then we ought to just start praising Him today. David started in prayer, "Oh God, hear my prayer." And he ended, "Oh, praise be to God. I know that You're going to take care of all of this." It might be dark now. It might be painful now. It might be lonely now. It might be no one may understand now. But I want you to know one day God is going to bring you out of that cave. One day you'll accomplish His will. One day you'll live for His purpose and you'll see what God did in that cave. Remember, it was a shepherd boy that went in that cave. But when he came out, he was a king. David went through the cave to wear the crown. Joseph went through the cave to wear the crown. I want you to know, my friend, Jesus went in a cave one day. They took him off that cross and they took that battered body. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took the lifeless body of Jesus and they laid him in a cave. All had forsaken him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" he cried. Jesus lay in that grave. There was no hope, no life. He was dead. It was finished. But shortly before dawn on the third day, breath began to fill those lungs. Light began to flood those eyes. Life began to flood through that body and the Holy Spirit of God came upon him and those grave clothes lay there while Jesus got up from the cave and out of that grave he arose. He came out triumphant over hell, death, and sin in the grave and he rules today. God rules today. Jesus rules today. He knows the way through the cave. I want to say, dear friend, Jesus is coming soon. The world is on its way to hell. You and I are twice born people living in a once born world. We have the gospel. And we might be in a cave. And Satan may be on the prowl. And we may be with the discontent and those that are in distress. But I want to remind you, those same people that were in debt, those same that were distressed, those same that were discontent, those men came out of that cave with David. And they became the mighty men. They fought the battles. Hey, that drunkard in your village, he may be a church planter one day. I want to say that rebellious teenage boy in your church may be a missionary one day. You are in the cave, but let God bring you out with a crown. Let God do His glory and reach that place for Christ. And let God take the distressed and the in debt and the discontent and turn them into mighty army to reach the world for Christ. There is a cure.